Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really interesting knot in the fabric of contract law. We're going to unpack the case of Denbury Onshore v. Precision Welding.
Mm-hmm.
It gets right to the heart of when an agreement can be brought to an end, even if it's just, you know, a verbal understanding without a set expiration date.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the kind of stuff that can save you a lot of headaches down the road, whether you're running a business or just want to understand how agreements actually work.
Exactly. And the core of what we're exploring today, for you listening in, boils down to this. In the absence of a formal written contract specifying an end date, under what circumstances can a business agreement be legally terminated?
Yeah.
It's a deceptively simple question, really, but with some fascinating legal complexities.
Absolutely. To really get our heads around this, we've gathered a solid stack of information. We've got some expert commentary framing the key legal angles, a streamlined case brief giving us the essential facts.
Essentials, yeah.
The full legal brief for all the nitty-gritty details, and even some sharp AI analysis to help us see the patterns. Think of this as your shortcut to understanding a really pivotal case. Okay, let's dive right into the story.
So picture this. You've got Denbury Onshore, a company in the oil and gas sector, and Precision Welding, a construction subcontractor. They had a working relationship that stretched from 2002 all the way to 2006. Now, here's the crucial detail. Their entire agreement was oral.
Just verbal.
Precision was providing hourly construction services for various Denbury projects.
And that's the first red flag for anyone even casually familiar with contracts, right? No written document laying out the terms, how long the agreement would last, the specific work Precision would do, or most importantly, how either side could end things.
Exactly.
Then, boom, 2006 rolls around.
Right. And Denbury suddenly decided to pull the plug on the relationship with Precision. Unsurprisingly, Precision wasn't too happy about this abrupt end. They had been operating under the assumption that they would continue working until Denbury's projects were finished. So they did what businesses often do when they feel wronged. They sued for breach of contract.
And initially, it looked like Precision had a strong case, didn't it? They actually won at the trial level.
They did, yeah. The jury heard their arguments and awarded Precision a significant $1.5 million in damages. The jury essentially sided with Precision's view that they had an expectation of continued work.
But Denbury wasn't going to just write that check. Their main argument, which ultimately carried weight, revolved around this key legal concept.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that their unwritten agreement with Precision was terminable at will.
Mm-hmm.
So this sets up the central legal battle. One side saying, we expect it to keep working. The other saying, well, we had the right to end it whenever we wanted.
Exactly. And this takes us straight to a fundamental principle in contract law, terminable at will. When we're talking about agreements that don't have a specific duration or a clearly defined scope of work, the legal default is often that either party can end the agreement at any time.
Okay, let's really unpack this terminable at will idea. What did the Mississippi Supreme Court, when they reviewed the initial trials decision, have to say about this in the context of Denbury and Precision's handshake agreement?
Well, the Supreme Court, in their majority opinion, firmly stated that these kinds of indefinite contracts are indeed terminable at will. However, and this is a really critical however, they also made it clear that even in a terminable at will situation, the party ending the agreement still needs to provide reasonable notice to the other side.
Reasonable notice. Okay, that sounds like the crucial balancing point here. But first, what was the core reasoning behind the Supreme Court's conclusion that the Denbury Precision Agreement fell into this terminable at will category in the first place?
Their reasoning was pretty straightforward, actually. They looked at the basic elements, or rather, the lack thereof, in the oral agreement. Mm-hmm. There was no specific date when the relationship was supposed to end.
Right.
No set number of hours. Precision was guaranteed. And no clearly defined project or scope of work that Precision was contracted to complete in its entirety. Because these essential elements of a fixed-term contract were missing, the court determined that the agreement was inherently indefinite.
Okay.
They even drew an analogy to employment law, where typically an employer can fire an employee unless there's a specific contract in place, but even then, there's often an expectation of some notice, you know?
That makes intuitive sense. It's like saying, if we haven't agreed how long we're working together or what the specific deliverable is, then it's understood that either of us can decide to move on. But...
No.
But you can't just pull the rug out from under the other person without any warning.
Precisely. And this is where the Mississippi Supreme Court took issue with the original trial.
Right.
They found a significant flaw in the instructions that were given to the jury.
Ah, the jury instruction.
Yes. The trial court had allowed the jury to consider whether the contract was not terminable at will. The Supreme Court clarified that this wasn't a question of fact for the jury to decide based on the specific circumstances. It was a matter of legal principle based on the inherent nature of the oral agreement itself.
So the Supreme Court was essentially saying, look, the law is clear. This type of open-ended agreement is terminable at will. The jury shouldn't have been asked to decide otherwise. That's a legal determination, not a factual one.
Exactly. The legal framework dictates that agreements lacking these key defined terms are considered terminable at will as a matter of law. The mistake was in allowing the jury to potentially reach a different legal conclusion.
But the Supreme Court's decision wasn't unanimous, right? I remember seeing Justice King had a different take on this. What was his dissenting argument?
Justice King disagreed with the majority, yeah. He argued that even though there wasn't an explicit end date, the agreed-upon terms like the hourly rate for services and the fact that Precision's work was directly tied to Denbury's specific construction projects, he felt that implied a reasonable duration.
Interesting.
He felt that the context of their working relationship suggested it wasn't intended to be quite as open-ended and subject to immediate termination as the majority concluded.
So he was looking more at the practical realities of the situation. Like, Precision wasn't just doing odd jobs. They were contributing to specific finite projects, which inherently have some sort of completion point, even if not explicitly stated.
Exactly. Justice King believed that the jury instructions at the original trial, which did include the concept of reasonable notice, were actually appropriate. He felt that the jury had considered the evidence and made a factual determination that Denbury hadn't provided sufficient notice.
Right.
And therefore, the Supreme Court's decision to overturn that essentially disregarded the jury's role in weighing the facts of the case.
It sounds like a real clash of legal philosophies. One side sticking to maybe a stricter interpretation of what constitutes an indefinite contract, the other looking at the real-world context and the implied understandings that might arise from that context.
Precisely. And this difference in perspective really underscores the importance of this concept of reasonable notice. Because even though the majority on the Supreme Court determined the contract was terminable at will, they still emphasize that Denbury had a legal obligation to provide Precision with reasonable notice before ending their four-year working relationship.
Okay, so even if you have the legal right to end the agreement, you can't just do it out of the blue without any warning. What exactly does reasonable notice mean in a situation like this? What kind of time frame are we talking about? Is it days, weeks, months?
Well, that's the central question the case was sent back down to the trial court to address. The Supreme Court remanded the case, meaning they sent it back for a new jury to decide one crucial thing. Did Denbury provide reasonable notice to Precision before terminating the agreement?
Oh.
And if they didn't, what financial harm did Precision suffer and a direct result of that lack of reasonable notice? Now, it's really important to understand that reasonable notice isn't some magic number of days or weeks. It's highly dependent on the specific circumstances of the case.
So what kind of factors would a jury typically consider when trying to figure out what would constitute reasonable notice in a scenario like the one between Denbury and Precision?
Several things come into play. Industry norms are a big one. What's considered standard practice for ending similar working relationships in the construction industry in that region?
Mm-hmm.
The length of the relationship itself is also crucial. A four-year ongoing engagement suggests a deeper level of reliance than, say, a short-term project.
Makes sense.
And perhaps most significantly, the extent to which Precision relied on the continued work with Denbury would be a major factor. Did Precision invest in specific equipment just for Denbury's projects? Did they turn down other potential work opportunities based on the expectation of ongoing work with Denbury?
These kinds of reliance factors would likely lead a jury to conclude that a more substantial notice period would have been reasonable.
This really shines a light on the inherent uncertainty that can come with oral agreements, doesn't it? Even when the law says an agreement is terminable at will, this requirement for reasonable notice brings in a whole new layer of factual interpretation and potential dispute. So for you listening to this, why should you care about this seemingly specific legal fight between these two companies in Mississippi? What are the broader lessons here?
Oh, there's some really fundamental takeaways for anyone involved in business, whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just starting out. The biggest one, without a doubt, is the critical importance of having clear written contracts.
Always comes back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. Specifically, explicitly outlining the duration of your agreements and the procedures for how the relationship can be terminated can save you an enormous amount of potential ambiguity, cost, and legal wrangling down the line. If Denbury and Precision had taken the time to put their agreement in writing and address these key points, this entire lawsuit might have been avoided.
Yeah.
This case is a stark reminder. A handshake isn't always a contract, and even when it is, the lack of a clear exit strategy in writing can cost you dearly.
Absolutely. It might seem obvious, but this case really hammers home the point that even informal-seeming or flexible verbal agreements carry legal weight and certain obligations. You can't just assume you can walk away without considering the impact on the other party.
Exactly. And it also underscores the principle of good faith that underpins much of contract law. Even in situations where termination is legally permissible, there's an expectation that it will be done reasonably and fairly, with some consideration for the other party's situation and reliance on the agreement. The requirement of reasonable notice is a direct manifestation of this good faith principle.
It's also fascinating to see how crucial jury instructions are in legal proceedings. This case really highlights how a seemingly small error in how the judge tells the jury to consider the law can lead to a complete reversal by a higher court and a whole new trial.
That's a really insightful point. The judge's guidance to the jury acts as the lens through which they interpret the facts and apply the law. An inaccurate instruction can fundamentally alter the outcome of a case, even if the jury correctly understands the underlying facts. And finally, it's important to understand the limitations on damages in these types of cases. If a court or jury finds that a party failed to provide reasonable notice, the damages awarded are typically tied to the harm caused by the lack of that notice. For example, lost profits that could have been earned during a reasonable notice period, or expenses incurred directly due to the abrupt termination, rather than the full anticipated profits from some assumed future continuation of the relationship.
So let's try to boil it all down. What are the key principles or maybe tests we can extract from the Denbury v. Precision Welding case that our listeners should keep in mind?
Okay, yeah, we can identify what we might call the indefinite contract test, which leads to the terminable at will designation in cases like this. First, was there a specific agreed upon duration for the agreement? If the answer is no, it leans towards being terminable at will.
Check one.
Second, was there a clearly defined scope of work or project with an inherent endpoint? If not, that also suggests it's terminable at will.
Check two.
And third, was payment structured primarily on an hourly basis without a guaranteed minimum number of hours or a total contract value? If so, this further supports the conclusion that the agreement is indefinite.
Check three. Okay.
And the overarching rule, as established by the Mississippi Supreme Court's majority opinion, is that even if an indefinite contract meets these criteria and is legally considered terminable at will, the party ending the agreement still has a legal obligation to provide reasonable notice to the other party.
So to wrap up our deep dive into Denbury Onshore v. Precision Welding, even informal, unwritten contracts without a specific end date can be legally terminated by either party. However, this right isn't absolute. There's a critical responsibility to act reasonably and provide what's considered reasonable notice to the other party. Failing to do so, even in a situation where the contract is deemed terminable at will, can have significant legal and financial consequences.
Exactly. And this case really serves as a powerful reminder that while a verbal agreement might feel convenient and flexible at the outset, the lack of clear written terms, especially regarding duration and termination, can open the door to costly and time-consuming disputes. The concept of reasonable notice acts as a crucial safeguard, ensuring that even in less formal arrangements, parties are expected to act in good faith and with due consideration for the impact of their decisions on the other side.
Thinking about this case, it really makes you consider. For you, our listener, given the complexities and potential pitfalls we've uncovered in Denbury v. Precision Welding, what are some concrete, practical steps you can take right now to ensure greater clarity and prevent similar disagreements when entering into business dealings, even those that might initially seem like casual understandings?
That's a really important question to reflect on. And it's vital to recognize that the lessons we've learned from this specific case aren't limited to the construction industry. The core principles surrounding indefinite agreements and the requirement for reasonable notice can have significant implications across a wide spectrum of business relationships and contractual situations.
Absolutely. This case, while focused on a dispute between an oil and gas company and a welding subcontractor, provides valuable insights into the fundamental principles of contract law and the enduring importance of clear communication and well-defined terms in any business arrangement, no matter how informal it might initially seem. We hope this deep dive has given you a clearer understanding of this fascinating area of law. We'll be back soon with more in-depth explorations of the legal landscape.